There's a new group of superheroes in town.
When they get a hold on you, it is a brutal and devastating hold.
They're my only escape from the drudgery of work and family.
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. Now back to the Greg Vogue and Big Joe Show.
Charlie, don't encourage.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown. Call now at 844-5600.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
And now here's Greg Vogue and Big Joe.
Time now for Picking with the Pickers.
Picking with the Pickers.
$50 the Snails Kid picks his nose.
Featuring Vince Gill, Steve Cropper, and all their famous friends. They're joining Greg Pogue and Big Joe as they pick their picks and tell their stories. From college to the NFL, Picking with the Pickers is presented by Landmark Bank and Pickers Vodka. You never know what you're going to get when you're picking with the Pickers.
Well, it is a Friday morning. You know what that means, the 10 o'clock hour. Picking with the Pickers presented by Landmark Bank and Pickers Vodka. And we are at the Southern Steak and Oyster. Now, we have two retired Mount Rushmore Picking with the Pickers, right? Vince Gill,
sure,
who did it the first 2 years, and then Steve Cropper, who's done it the last 2 years. Of course, both of them, you know, sort of had to not beg out a little bit because, you know, they didn't feel like they could get up in time. No. They've been traveling all over the world doing so many different things, and it's great to have Steve Cropper back on the show. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How
Eric,
you doing,
I'm glad
man?
To be here.
Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. It's so far so good.
Yeah?
It's looking better all the time.
Yeah? You know, I make on January 1st, I make a New Year's resolution, one a year, to make it to February 1st. Because right. That's my birthday. And then after that, I've got, you know, 11 months. I don't give a crap what happens.
Well, I get asked a lot about, you've been around the world. You must have an incredible bucket list. What's on your bucket list? I said, I only have one thing on my bucket list. It gets their attention every time. They said, what's that? And I said, don't kick the bucket.
Well, you're looking good, playing strong, and man, what a busy couple years. I know your business partner, manager, Geddes Bootride, just has you doing things all over the place.
Well,
and he's really been
here and there.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing that really, everybody knows who you are, okay, from all the different things you do, okay? There's no doubt about that. But it just seemed the interest in the 50th anniversary of sitting on the dock of the bay that you and Otis wrote really took on a life of its own with all of the media, national media, internationally as well.
Well, you know, it's good to be there and good to be part of it. The thing I don't look forward to is 2019. It'll be 51 years then. Yeah. I don't think they're going to celebrate.
Now, they ain't coming back.
It ain't coming back.
But did you expect the magnitude of interest with that? I mean, it is one
none
of the greatest.
None whatsoever,
yeah, but,
no.
But, it
but we
was,
knew we had something.
Yeah.
Otis and I both knew we, out of all the things we had cut in 2 weeks, that was the one we kept going back to and listening yeah. over and over.
Did you expect the reaction here 50 years later when it was the 50th?
No,
I mean, you
no
were. It's probably easier to tell you which place you weren't. Rolling Stones, CBS Morning News, on and on and on. Did that hit you by surprise a little bit, just the level
well,
of interest
yeah,
in that song?
Yeah, and you know, when we got the award for sitting on the dock of the bay, Otis, of course, had already passed away. We came to Nashville. Because those Grammys were held in Nashville in those days.
Wow.
And we came up here to get the award, and I got to hear Tammy Wynette live for the first time. I said, she is a female Otis.
Ooh.
Even though she's in country, she had one of the greatest voices I ever heard.
But haven't we realized that country is the white man's blues? Did we figure this out? Isn't that what we've been
Yeah, I think so.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Yep.
Just different twang.
A different twang, all the so, same, different twang.
I'm doing this interview last year, I guess, with the Blues Brothers. We're all on a conference yeah. thing for a radio show. And this guy's talking about our new album and all that sort of stuff. And at the end of it, Lou Marini says, well, and we were talking about Bach and Chopin and all that stuff. He said, they all use the same notes. I never looked at it that way. That's true.
The same notes.
There's only so many to pick from.
How many, I know this is impossible to calculate, but I know you've done that song with Justin Timberlake at the White House.
Right.
You played it with Pearl Jam at Murphy Center. You've done Dock of the Bay with Tom Jones at the Royal Albert Hall. I just got to think that's just mind-blowing of all these people who want to sit with you with this song.
This year and recently, you know, I was awarded the Icon Award at BMI.
Yes.
And they had a legend come out and surprised the living crap out of me,
Oh, my goodness.
They darkened the stage, and they sneak him out there.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to sing it, and I have no idea. And there, that lights come on, and it's John Legend. I'm going, what?
Wow.
And he sang it really good, as usual. It didn't matter what he sang.
You've had the highs and lows of your career, John Legend, and then to hang with us at the Southern. So,
well, it gives
that ain't a low for me. That's a big upper
for me. No, it gives him a baseline.
Right.
It reminds me of an old Willie song. Can't wait to get on the road again.
Oh, man. But I've looked at I told Greg, I watched the Tom Jones thing the other night at the one that you did last year at Royal Albert Hall. And
right.
Just incredible.
And you know, when it was all over, I said, Sir Tom. And he said, you know, you're the only person this week that said sir to me. He is. He's been knighted by the Queen,
yes.
So he is a sir. And I know Paul as well.
Greg's been knighted
Paul,
one of the Beatles.
Paul,
that guy, you
Paul.
Know that guy.
Steve, Greg's been knighted too, but he got a shot for it, right?
It's a series
of shots. He still
has
shots. A scar.
Yeah. He's still got a scar.
It's a series of shots. That Paul guy, okay, yeah. I know him. Yeah.
And one of those guys that were real big over in England.
I sent our friend Geddes a thing from a story I was reading about George Harrison, who had came over in the 60s before the Beatles really hit, and visit his sister lived in Illinois, just out of the blue. And they said, what experience did you get for the music? And he said, I bought some trinket. He goes, and I had to buy a Steve Cropper album and this was 61, 62. And here's George Harrison talking about how his influence was you. And it's hard to fathom when you're sitting in front of me to put that all together. That's
hard
amazing.
For me to fathom that as well. So.
Especially a guy from Missouri.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Missouri. Got corrected.
I corrected you last time.
Yeah, Missouri.
I call it misery. And they said, why would you say that? I said, well, if you're raised on a farm, you know what misery means.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Cropper is our guest, Picking with the Pickers, presented by Landmark Bank and Pickers Vodka. Great folks with that. And on Twitter, @OfficialCropper. Not unofficial Cropper, @OfficialCropper.
@OfficialCropper.
That's your Twitter. Do you know that?
No.
Okay. Somebody.
You know why
does.
I don't know it? Because I didn't set it up. Somebody else did.
Yeah, but that's what you
that's
pay.
Good. That's fine.
You pay your minions to take care of your work, like Joe running you around on the weekends.
That's right. All right. So, again.
I hope you guys never send me a bill.
We need to. I get my daughter through college.
I'll be cleaning microphones.
All right. So, every time we have you on, we learn something fascinating about you. And our music question today was, I looked up and came across you and Rod Stewart and Tonight's the Night, and one of the top songs of ever, especially in the 70s, one of the top songs. And you had a hand in that, which I should not be surprised.
In the music. And he and I were the only ones in the room, and he was running his house in Beverly Hills. And we were in the dining room of that house when we wrote that song. Now, I don't know how many times he rewrote the lyrics. He always does that.
Right.
So,
was he massive popular then when you were sitting down?
Pretty much. But, you know, his big record at the time was Maggie May.
Right.
And Tom Dowd called me from New York and said, I need you to put a band together. And then he called me back the next day and said, I want you to take some songs over to this guy that I'm getting ready to produce. So I knock on the door. Maid comes to the door. I'm here to see Rod Stewart. And she says, well, he's out by the pool. So I go out there, and there he is in his bathing suit out there getting some sun. And I open my shaggy guitar case and start playing some songs. And he said, hey, this is great.
Oh, my goodness.
And I told him that Tom Dowd sent me. Otherwise, he would have probably shot me in the head.
I got to say, he probably knew who you were. I wouldn't go
But I will
far.
Say this for all the fans out there, that when Rod Stewart sang, you knew automatically he was going to rewrite it. But he sang it like it was the last song he was ever going to sing.
Oh, wow.
Only other person ever did that was Otis Redding. So that's my comparison to Rod Stewart.
That's pretty strong. Pretty
and we've had it in a Tammy Wynette one, too. So you got Wynette on the other side.
Yeah. That's getting it done there. I know one time he told you, you have a Paul Simon connection, too?
I know him. Slightly.
Did y'all, how did you, I remember you told us one time about Paul Simon. Were y'all in a band together? Did y'all do something?
Yeah, that little bitty band called the Blues Brothers or something like that.
How'd that work out?
Yeah.
It did all right.
Still getting paid.
But and I tell
still
you,
going.
It still has legs. The Last Shade of Blue Before Black, that album release is
not
still
bad.
Just still riding strong.
You know,
strong.
It hung in there for, 5 weeks?
Yeah.
Usually 5 days or 5 hours is about all music gets today.
Yeah.
That album hung in there for about
five weeks. Well, it was so, the pieces were obviously, you know, with Lou Marini and
everything. And with the present band.
Yeah.
For 2019, we're celebrating 31 years. In
wow.
Going
and,
out there to
but
play.
On that project, you sprinkle in Dr. John, Matt Guitar Murphy.
Little Eddie Floyd in there.
Eddie Floyd. So, yeah, it was excellent and everything. You mentioned the Blues Brothers, and we're going to get to it because I know you're sort of in the between here, aren't you? Because I know next month you go out on the road for
Again,
a couple months with Dave Mason.
Yeah. You know, he was raised over here, but he's from England originally.
I know Dave Mason.
Yeah, I know you know Dave. He's a great guy,
he's
too.
One of my,
I'm really looking forward to it. I miss him.
And yeah, he's one of my all-time favorites.
I left them in Oklahoma to go to Japan for about a week and a half. And we start back on the 15th in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. In the meantime, he's going to do a cruise, one of those rock and roll cruises.
Yeah. With sort of the old rockers getting on board.
Yeah, I guess. And people pay to be on the ship.
Do you ever do a cruise?
No, I have not done one. I've been asked a lot. There's a lot of them now. There used to be one or two. Now there's, I don't know how many there are.
Well, every genre
two or three a week.
Comedy cruises. And our buddy Killer, you know, Killer Bees, our friend Killer Bees.
Mobile, Alabama.
I mean, he probably does
every day?
No.
He's all the time.
One a month, probably. He probably does 10 or 12 cruises a year. And, you know, he's a captive audience there.
Yeah, and he's funny.
Yeah.
We always go to see him when he comes to Zany's here.
Yeah, every time he comes in, he's always stops by us. He's in the Moonshiners. He's on that TV show on the Discovery. But anyway, Steve Cropper is our guest this morning. So back out on the road with Dave Matthews. How's that?
Dave Mason.
What'd I say?
Matthews.
Dave Matthews. You go on him too if you like, Greg.
Yeah, that's okay. We had Jeff Coffin.
He's not bad. He's
no, right. Dave Mason, of course. But back out on the road with that, do you mix and match? Each one of you have so many standards.
What I learned, you know, you always learn something. And I knew who he was. I've known him for many, many years, but never played with him. I didn't know he wrote a lot of those songs. And the biggie was like Feeling All Right.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know he wrote that.
That early Traffic stuff he wrote, but Feeling All Right's been recorded.
How big is that?
It's been recorded probably, I'm going to guess, by 800 different artists.
Lord.
You think I'm kidding?
I don't.
I mean, don't you think it's probably been recorded by 800 different artists?
Probably at least, yeah. I would think so. That many.
Now, there's Google's a wonderful thing. I'll have that.
I doubt if he knows.
I dare say the royalty checks would represent, you know, some of that.
But you don't keep track of all that.
Well, you pay somebody.
They used to ask
that.
Me to say, how many times has In the Midnight Hour been recorded? I said, I don't know, but I've been paid on about 150 different versions. I don't know.
Oh,
I really don't.
Oh, man.
It wasn't big, you know. You get a check today, it's 12 cents or it's a nickel or something.
That's 17 cents more than I got. Knock on Wood, though, was pretty good for you when it came back out, right?
Yeah, did real good. Amy Stewart had a number one record with it.
That song's been done quite a bit, too.
Yeah. few times.
You're like Midas. It all turns to gold.
Well,
did you find out, Greg?
You know, I'm looking at how many different movies it's been in. Are you aware of that? 2000 film duets. Huey Lewis sings it in that. It was in the 2012 movie Flight, directed by Robert Zemeckis, starring Denzel Washington. Are you, you know,
Knock on Wood?
No, Feeling All Right.
Feeling All Right.
And you tell, I know we're the stories. The one of where you're sitting in there and it's American Graffiti. And they break into Green Onions. Tell that story. You're in the audience watching it, coming, right?
It's sort of like there's one on TV about this woman that's in charge of the library and getting points, and she yells out and goes, "Shh," and everybody reading the book. Anyway, this girl, her name was Connie Neighbors, and I didn't know the song was even in the movie. They wanted me to go see American Graffiti, which we did. Green Onion starts playing, and she stands up in the middle of the theater that's dark and says, "He wrote that song." It took me all of about a half a second to scoot up under the you don't do that anymore.
And you had no idea?
I had no idea.
That is amazing. Somebody dropped the ball on that. They should have.
Well, I know why. Being in a little bit in the business, I know why they do that. Because you build somebody's ego up. That music is in a film and they go to see it and it's not in there.
Yeah.
And I've seen that happen. It's happened to me and I've seen it happen to other people. Where in the last week they wind up on the cutting floor.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
or the scene that the song is in. You know,
the people who took you to see it, did they know it was in there before?
Yeah, they knew it was in there.
So they brought you knowing
it was
that
a setup.
Did,
yeah,
that was a setup. Green Onions did all right.
It did okay.
You know. You think?
I think so quite well. The fact that George Lucas went out and probably found that song and said, "That's perfect for what we need right there." Boom. And there it is. It's George Lucas.
He didn't go out and find it. He grew up on it is what he did, or was a contemporary. But anyway, let's take a break.
It's George Lucas.
I understand.
Yeah.
That's Steve Cropper.
Steve Cropper's our Obi-Wan. That's where he got Obi-Wan.
Uh-huh.
From Steve Cropper.
And what are you?
Yoda.
Chewbacca?
Yoda.
Chewbacca.
That's rude.
Doesn't he look like Chewbacca?
Rude.
Steve, you don't have to answer.
If he had the suit on,
yeah,
he'd look more like him.
Thank you.
Yeah. Chewbacca with a toboggan. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, more with Steve. We're going to pick some games today, right?
That's what
you got
told me.
Yes, we do. Steve Cropper with us. And
We're running out of games, though, by the way.
Yeah, I know. We got two very important ones. And by the way,
yes,
Crazy Charlie. You know, because we, you know, did it a little bit different this year. We've just had separate guests and everything because of your commitments, Vince's commitments and everything. We do have the final tally from last year, and I have no idea who won.
Okay.
And I'm telling Charlie, if you're smart, you did. Okay, but anyway, we'll take a break. More with Steve Cropper here from the Southern Steak and Oyster, Nashville Sports Radio.
When it comes to professional banking in Nashville, there's a new benchmark, Landmark Bank. Landmark Bank is now open on Music Row and is professionally managed by local financial experts John Morrissey and Robin Henderson. When you're ready to see banking differently, call John or Robin at 651-7280. That's 651-7280. Or learn more online at landmarkbanktn.com. Music Row's new landmark, Landmark Bank. Professional and personal banking for sports, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. See banking differently.
Pickers Vodka is now available in ready-to-drink Pickers Crafted Cocktails. These cans come in four varieties, each featuring a different Pickers Vodka flavor. Visit your local retailer today and pick up a four-pack of Pickers Music City Mule, Porch Picker, Lemon and Blues, or Honky Tonk Hurricane for your next tailgate. Pickers Vodka. It's the Greg Pogue and Big Joe Show. They put the fun in dysfunctional.
Southern Steak and Oyster this morning. Greg Pug, Big Joe Show, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. Crazy Charlie back in the studio. Adam Johnson on site. Our guest this morning, Picking with the Pickers, presented by Pickers Vodka, Landmark Bank. Steve Cropper. Hello, Steve. No, we had something we were going to bring up after the break, and I forgot what it was. What was it we were teasing when we were going into the break?
I don't know.
I don't either. Steve,
yeah. Well, I was so proud of what we were going to talk about coming out of the break, and I'm glad.
You were making fun of me for looking like.
Well, that's easy. Yeah, I mean, but I mean, it obviously had a big impact on everybody. So.
What's it about? We got the records from last year or something with the Charlie dug up the R picks from last year?
Well, we got that, yes. Okay. From last year.
You sound like Killer Bees right then. We got that.
We got that.
The stats from last year.
Yeah, and then there's that. Save up. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
You do introduce this lady.
Who, my lovely wife?
Well, I'm
one and only Angel Cropper.
I'm hoping that's your lovely wife.
She beats everybody that I know on the golf course, period.
Yeah. Now, and we've already started.
And what I figured out was when we play these tournaments, she always figures out just how to beat the person that's supposed to win by one.
You know how when it was Ray Danner in those tournaments, you had to take all of his pencils away from him. That's how you beat Ray Danner.
No, just his erasers.
Yeah.
The trick was to drive around behind him until he finally landed, and then you could turn your card in.
Yeah.
Because if he saw what you had.
Oh, yeah.
One more.
Here is a multimillionaire. You got the lion. He would bring in the best worst ringers, that you could find, and he would win every tournament, no matter how he wrote it down and everything. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
Just a little bit closer there. That way.
There we go.
There she is.
Yeah, we're doing great. We've made it through the holidays and.
We did.
Well, and we were talking with Steve a minute ago, and he's Steve Cropper, okay? We know all the things that go into that and all the things that people are pulling and wanting a piece. But when that 50th anniversary came around of the Otis Redding sitting on the dock of Bay and that whole story with him and writing that and how he had to get in the plane the next day to go to New York City to get it there and everything. Mm-hmm. But now, Rolling Stone, CBS News, everybody. And I asked him, did you see that coming? Because you knew what the magnitude of the song was. I couldn't imagine just the explosion all over the world in the interest of just that one song must have been wild.
It was, and it was interesting and pleasing that the Reddings were, they were very receptive, to the whole process, and they were inclusive of Steve and vice versa. And I think it's such an iconic song that touched so many people that it was kind of a refreshing break from the regular news to just sit back and remember how great a time it was. And so, yeah, we're really proud of him. And Otis was a great man. Apparently.
Well, and that's not the one thing that defines him. It's the one of the things that he's definable about. Okay. I mean, because there's such a vast category of things we could go over here in volume 3 and pull out and spend 4 hours talking on just that one thing.
This is true, and the thing that I find so uniquely wonderful about Steve is he is the one person in the world that can do the one thing he does better than anybody else. I mean, when he plays guitar, I don't care how many people try to mimic it, it doesn't have the same vitality, the same feel. He's unique and one in a million. Now, don't ask him to, do a load of laundry.
Well, don't ask me to do a load of laundry either.
I can, though. The good news is I can.
Don't tell it. Don't tell it unless you.
If I had to.
Don't set precedent.
We will send you that sound bite, and you'll play that for him every time. Yeah. Every time it comes
now,
out.
Now, Angela, I'm looking at this, and I haven't clicked on the link, but you have you sung Dock on the Bay with Steve on stage?
I believe that happened. I'm hoping I was severely inebriated because I think I remember that, and it was a last minute drag me up on stage and in the wrong key. So I'm trying to forget that.
Also, it says
thanks, Joe.
No.
Any other bad memories you can bring up?
No.
On wood and Doc of the Bay. I mean, Greg would love to be in that position to go up there and sing with all that.
Well, and he'd look better and sound better than I do too. So
well, and I would only do it in that stage that you were in.
Well, you would not look very good in my dress. So I'm just saying.
I've been thinking about that.
Oh, man.
Steve Cropper with us, Angel Cropper with us, Picking with the Pickers, presented by Landmark Bank and Pickers Vodka. And yeah, and you've told this here, but, you know, a lot of times there's the, in the business we call it churn. You know, there's new listeners and that churn of listeners and everything. But the way you guys met, you were quite the established singer yourself. Louisiana Hayride, which is was the precursor to the Grand Ole Opry, really, and just really one of the true iconic music things. Because I, you know, I remember growing up, you could pick it up all over the South, and that because of that New Orleans Clear Channel radio station, right?
Right.
But that's where you guys met.
Well, no, not exactly.
Well, like I said, don't get the facts get in the way
of my
good story.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. No. That's why I discovered who he was.
Oh, that's right. You found out that he wasn't some slappy from Missouri.
Yeah. Well, he was introduced to me as the world's greatest guitar player, and I'm like, right. And then we started dating, and we had already been talking about getting married, and I drug him to the Louisiana Hayride because, you know, that's where Elvis got started, and I was kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
And I thought I was kind of a big deal right then. Yeah. And then after...
Just sit there and don't say anything is what you're talking about.
I said, you want to go backstage? Because I knew he'd never been to a show that big before. And so I drug him to the back, and I said, just be cool right here. Don't germ anybody. I want to introduce you to my band because we're doing a lot of jingle work. I can get you some work. And he's like, awesome.
Back it up. Don't germ anybody.
Don't germ anybody.
I love that. Don't germ anybody. Yeah. The man that gets germed every time he flips around. But go ahead.
So I turn around. Somebody starts screaming. It was a pretty big backstage area. And somebody's going, who brought Steve Cropper? And I turn around, and all my band is lined up getting autographs. And I'm like, What are you doing? And the guy's like, well, that's Steve Cropper. And I'm like, and they said, well, you know, he wrote Sitting on the Dock of the Bay in the Midnight Hour, Knock on Wood, 6345789. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. And so that night after my set, they pulled Steve out of the audience. And he finished the whole show. They just canceled everybody else that was on the show. And so he finished out the entire show as an unannounced guest. And so it was pretty cool. We went home, and my dad's like, okay, now who are you again?
He's pulling out all his old albums. Is this you? Is this you?
Yeah.
Well, when you realize that this just wasn't the nice guy and the most unpretentious guy in the world, because if it's Joe or me, I guarantee you, you're going to know in the first 30 seconds that I'm Steve Cropper, okay?
No, he did not. And as a matter of fact, I felt a little... I'm gonna go out on a limb and say I was pretty embarrassed because I remember kind of flipping my hair, actually. Yeah. You want to go backstage? And I was like, oh, that's embarrassing. But it was great. You know, it taught me a lot about who he is.
Well, the first conversation, though, you had with him right after that, did you, like, hit him in the... Why did you tell me? I mean, what was that first conversation after all of that when you sort of realized, hey, it is Steve Cropper?
I think she wanted me to walk home.
I was just kind of like...
Or back to her house, which was a long way.
Well, at least you get to walk back there.
Yeah. Well, he did tell me that he wrote a song called Green Onions. So I thought, poor little one-hit wonder, I'm going to have to support him. But you have to understand, this is before anything, before cell phones, you know, computers, internet. So I know I'm not nearly that old, but we didn't have any way to really verify. So I thought, aw, I know that song, Green Onions. That's cool. well, you know, you're not a complete loser.
Yeah.
So, you know, this will work.
Let me ask you something. Just on the royalties from green onions alone, I could live on that, right?
Don't answer that, Steve.
I'm going to answer.
Don't answer.
But you could afford to buy one of those Chewbacca suits.
All right. Tell me about, Angel, the BMI, the Icon Award that night. How special was that?
That was pretty incredible. It was, I think, one of the greatest nights I remember in a long, long time. It started with, tributes by young artists and ended with John Legend. And I think we were all completely blown away because we had no idea John Legend was showing up. But it was so interesting, the contrast between, you know, like the new artists and the new songs, and then we would jump back to the iconic songs. And I don't know. I just thought it was a really fantastic evening, and I wish they had videoed that and could show it, you know, to everybody, because it was an amazing evening.
Well, so many people have, we just asked Steve this earlier, have sat in with him and sang Dock on the Bay. Is there one that stands out to you? I mean, we said the one with Tom Jones last year in London was amazing. Is there one for you that stands out?
Well, I'm always a Michael Bolton fan, just because he did the first one that I think in my generation that was iconic.
Yeah.
And we've kind of gotten to be friends, and so I always call him and I go, Michael, I need new shoes. Can you record something else? So he was kind enough to record another song, and I was so, you know, not to. We actually asked him to come in for the 50th. I mean, for the Icon Award.
Yeah.
And he was previously booked, so he couldn't make it. But I did tell him that it was about time.
Yeah, about time.
It's about time.
I didn't know when he did redid Dock on the Bay that Journey backed him up on that, or Neil Sean backed him up.
Neil Sean played a solo on it.
Yeah. Look at that.
Well, he must follow my direction well, because from what I understand, he has a new release of Dock on the Bay coming out with an orchestra.
Oh, nice.
So I'm hoping
new shoes.
I'm hoping it hits like a mother.
Greg and I are going to do Knock on Wood, and you get flip-flops for that.
Speaking of Knock on Wood, I get a call one day. This is a true story based on what she said earlier, and it was Michael Bolton. He said, tell Angel to go shopping. I said, what? He said, our album with Knock on Wood on it just hit 1 million sales. Tell her to go shopping. That is a true story, I promise.
Oh, that's great.
Most people are known for the iconic things that they do in their life. I'm known for shopping.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That always reminds
Yay me.
And golf.
That always reminds me of the Dolly Parton when Whitney did I'll Always Love You. Whitney says, because this song was such a success, I was able to take it to the bank. Ha ha. And Dolly said, really? I was able to buy the bank. That always made me laugh.
We are at the Southern Steak and Oyster. Our guest this morning on Picking with the Pickers, presented by Landmark Bank and Pickers Vodka, Steve Cropper, Angel Cropper. And we got some games to pick here coming up here in a few moments. And so we'll take a break. Be back more from the Southern Steak and Oyster right after this.
The Greg Pogue and Big Joe Show, guaranteeing you only you're never getting these 2 hours back.
Oh, they think the world of us at the radio station. Greg Pogue, Big Joe, presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. Crazy Charlie back in the studios. Adam Johnson on site. All of our bumper music is your stuff. You know that, don't you? So don't please don't send a bill.
We'll deny it.
If you do, go ahead and get in line.
Okay.
All right. Steve Cropper, Angel Cropper, Picking with the Pickers here this morning at the Southern Steak and Oyster, presented by Landmark Bank and Pickers Vodka. And you know, Titans. I know you're a big Titans fan. I know you have season tickets. And
I'm going to keep them.
I know you are. But are they going to keep Mariota? Is he the long-term answer? What
well,
do you think?
I have a theory all on right. that one. I think that by the time the Titans start playing as a team, Marcus will be gone.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
So maybe we'll find somebody better. Yeah. Who knows? He is one of the greatest of all time.
It is. You know, starting over is tough. But then again, you look at all these young Baker Mayfields coming into the league, and all these young ones are coming into the league now.
So
it's going to be interesting.
They built a defense.
Yeah.
Like no other. There's other teams out there that have a better record, basically.
Well,
but I don't know if they got a better defensive team.
No, but of these four teams playing this weekend, for the first time in NFL history, the top four best offenses statistically have made it to the Final Four. It's the first time ever that the top four offenses have made it this far. Does that mean anything to you, Joe?
Not really.
That's too smart for you.
He's over and above all that.
No, because the best team always wins the Super Bowl.
He's over there swiping right. I don't know what he's doing over there.
No, I'm looking up stuff on Mr. Cropper. I try to get fascinated looking at his career, and I can't stop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you can add to the show if you like.
Just step on in there.
Anywhere
you want.
Come on in. Water's fine.
You're engaging him on the Titan stuff. You don't need my input on that.
I haven't been engaged in years.
It's hard to believe it's been nearly 20 years since that Super Bowl for the Titans. It's been 19.
And it
long.
Seems like
it
yesterday.
It doesn't seem that long.
19 years ago that all that happened. It's crazy.
Mm-mm.
And I do think, and this sounds terrible, it's one of the worst things that happened to that franchise, because the first year in that new stadium, we expected it every year after that. Huge letdown, because they've come close once or twice since then. That's it.
But if you look at Kansas City, this first championship game since the early 90s when Joe Montana was quarterback, what, 91, 92, right?
93 or 4.
Just go along with
no,
it.
No, I can't.
Well, and just say, yeah, Greg, you're right.
All right, I've got a question for both of you. How old is Mahomes?
24?
23.
That's what I thought, 23, 24.
Yeah.
He looks 16 or 17.
He does.
Yeah.
But
he
he's got a 30.
So he won't be the youngest. If he does win the Super Bowl, he won't be the youngest quarterback to ever win it, will he?
He might be.
He might. He'd be close, wouldn't he?
Well, who's next?
You. We did a story yesterday on Channel 4. There's a couple from Kansas City that moved here last fall. They have a one-year-old who has cancer, and they're big Chiefs fans, and sent a note to the Chiefs about how they're big Mahomes fans and all that. He wrote back and sent him a hat or a toboggan or something. So he's a good young man, and he's going to be there for a long, long time.
That's great.
All right. You ready to pick some games?
I can do it.
You're going to do it?
Yeah.
You're going to do it?
You bet.
You're going to do
I'd
it?
I'd love to, Greg.
Yeah. Adam Johnson, at just 23 years old, Roethlisberger became the youngest quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Ben Roethlisberger.
2005 with the Steelers.
There you go. So Roethlisberger, 23 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Now it comes down to months.
Now, this year's been a little bit different because we don't have a regular guest because of everything's traveling, blah, blah, blah. We've had a bunch of people sprinkled in and everything. Bill Anderson, Lee Greenwood, Vince, you and everything. But a large part of this was Charlie, Crazy Charlie.
Correct.
And his title was the Enforcer.
Enforcer,
right?
Yeah.
And last year, which was a complete yearly competition, I have no idea who won, quite frankly, because short-term memory loss, I can barely remember your names. So Crazy Charlie.
Good thing we have cue cards, right?
Yes, Crazy Charlie, take it over, my friend.
First of all, hey, it's great to see you guys again. Hey, Steve and Angel, thank you guys so much for being with us.
Absolutely.
And Adam doing a fantastic job down there running things, and whoever those other two guys are that are talking, I don't know. I didn't bother to learn their names. It's not that important. Listen, last year, I got to tell you, we're coming off of a season where Steve Cropper just absolutely dominated. Last season, it wasn't looking like it was going to go the same until we got to this point in the season. In the last 2 weeks of the contest, Steve Cropper went 9-3 and had a huge comeback win over Greg Pogue, who went 1-11 over the final 2 weeks.
Cut his microphone off.
So next year it's the Steve Cropper show, right? Featuring Greg Pogue.
Crop, sir,
it's always every day.
It's always the Steve Cropper show, especially when you want to come around. I'll get rid of them other two fellas. I don't even know who they are. We'll make this the Steve and Angel Cropper show each and every day. But Steve Cropper came back and won last year with a huge finish to the season. Unfortunately, the guests did not come through. They came in last place, and Greg and Joe, you guys came in second and third. Joe ended up in second place by one game. So, Greg, you fell from certain Super Bowl victory all the way down to third place in the final 2 weeks. That's a gambler's misfortune right there, my friend. Now let's pick some games and see if we can duplicate a third season in a row.
All right. All on the line just today. And, Angel, you're going to pick as well, right?
I am.
All right. The first game Sunday is at 2:05 on Fox TV, the Rams and the Saints. The Saints are 3-point favorites over the Rams. Steve?
Rams.
Rams. Why?
Well, I think it's going to wind up the same way it started out.
All right.
They're great. And Saints are great as well, but they do have a chance to falter sometimes.
Yeah. True.
And I know where you're going. Well, you're going with your heart.
You know I'm a Louisiana girl.
I know. So I knew that was coming.
I'm just going to have to go with the Aints.
All right.
You know.
Aints.
Every time I hear a Louisiana girl, I think of that Conway Twitty Loretta Lynn song. Was it Louisiana?
Louisiana woman, Mississippi man.
We get
true.
Together every time we can. I'm going.
That right there.
That's a turn off.
I may go blind right now.
You will not. Greg Pogue, you will not tarnish the memory of the great Harold Jenkins.
No, I will tarnish you. All right, you got a pick over there?
Hey, I'm going with the Saints. Come on, they're at home in one of the loudest places in sports and the world. I'm going to go with the Saints of the Superdome.
I think the Rams are just going to run the ball. They did it against the Cowboys and had 200-yard rushers. I think the Rams win down there. So, you, Steve, you and I and Angel. So, you got that, Charlie. So, Angel and
you
Joe.
And I are Rams and they're
right.
Saints.
Yeah, okay. And then in Kansas City, at 5:40 on CBS, the Chiefs are 3-point favorites over the Patriots.
Well, there is a rule if you're better.
What?
If the home team's getting points, don't bet against them. But
well, they're giving up points. Yeah.
I know they are.
Yeah. All right.
They're giving them up. Huh? No,
yeah, the Chiefs are 3-point favorites.
Okay.
Yeah.
Over the Patriots. So the Patriots are getting
both home teams are favored. Yeah. No, they're giving. That minus, Chiefs minus the three.
Three, okay, yeah. I got you. Well, I don't know. I'm going to tell on myself now.
All right.
I'm a better sometimes, but a small better.
Okay.
And I told my accountant recently, now I can enjoy the game. It's not about the money. He says it's always about the money. I said, no, it's not. I don't sit there going, oh, if I lose, you know.
That's what Greg does.
I know guys that do that.
Every Monday, Greg walks in the same way. I check all 10 fingers, make sure he's still got them.
Guido doesn't have two in his pocket.
Well, hey, I don't have to lean to the right because my wallet's gone. Do you have a pick, Steve?
Yes, I'm going to pick the Chiefs.
All right.
I've got to go with the Chiefs. I think I'm over Brady, and he's got too many rings, and he doesn't need it.
That's good.
He doesn't.
She's right, isn't he? I agree with the Chiefs, too. Brady's only won 2 road playoff games in his career. They've been big ones, though, but he hasn't done it in over 10 years. And I think the Titans had the blueprint when they played here. You just send as many guys as you can at Brady and knock him off, and that's what happens.
All right, I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well. So we all four picked the Chiefs.
Wow.
In other words, the Patriots will win.
Yeah, the shoe-in, the Patriots have got it.
So what's coming up, Steve?
A little Florida fun, hopefully. Fun
vacation? Yeah.
Not.
No, he's working.
Working.
Yeah.
Come on, Greg.
I fly to Miami on the 14th, and we open in Fort Lauderdale on the 15th.
He thinks he's getting out for Valentine's Day?
Uh-oh. Not this year.
So, for us, Valentine's Day will be the 13th.
For us.
For us.
But you spent some time down there, don't you? I mean, you're going to be in Fort Lauderdale, and there's other stops.
Some other places. I know we're going to Clearwater. I don't know if there's a third or fourth one.
Now, when you do this with Dave Mason, do you who goes first?
Dave Matthews, right?
Who goes first? Who's on first? No, that's no. Evan Costello. We actually go out together.
Okay. Nice.
And for those who want to come to the show, they get to hear Dave Mason sing and not play in the midnight hour.
Oh.
You know, Dave's a pretty good singer. He's got a great voice.
Yeah, he does.
And he was playing a tape one day on the bus, and I said, "Who is that?" He said, "Me." I didn't recognize his voice because I'd never really heard him sing.
Do you ever get into an argument with him, and at the end of the argument, you're like, "You know, we'll just disagree."
Yeah.
I am here till 11.
Thank God it's only two more minutes.
Been away. Haven't seen for a while. I tell you what, he does such a great job on that song.
It's a great song.
It is one of my favorite songs.
That's all cool, but don't encourage Joe.
You know who did a great remake of that song was Billy Dean.
Oh, really?
He did an outstanding, like the early 90s, did an amazing redo of that song. Huh. It was fantastic.
Well, I'll have to check that out.
All 6'8" of Billy Dean.
That's pretty incredible. I'll have to check it out.
Well, certainly Alone Together was Dave's big thing right after the traffic stuff had fallen apart and everything. But that one is my all-time favorite. And everything. Alone Together and Look at You, Look at Me. And I know you guys are doing a lot of that as well. Steve, thanks for coming, man. Always a pleasure.
Always.
Yeah. We don't stop here. We're here. If you're in town, even if he's not, Angel, you, the family, your father, everybody, we're here the third Friday of each month. Come and have breakfast with us and just hang out with us. You're invited.
Thank
and
if you, you
wanna,
so much.
If you want to drag him along, that's cool, too.
I like dragging him places.
So, radio is one thing, but it's a shame we're not on TV to see how pretty she is.
He is working it.
Yeah,
he is.
But the most beautiful, are your eyes turquoise? What is that?
I don't know.
Hazel?
I don't know. What are they? Blue?
Blue-green?
They're blue. I don't know.
They're angelic.
They're
right?
good looking. I know that.
Unlike Joe's, which are just red.
Bloodshot.
To match his neck.
I know what Bloodshot. Steve's doing, and he's trying to butter you up to get out of the Valentine's Day.
That was my first thought, to be honest with you. That was my first thought.
He's already blew my cover.
Yeah. He's working that thing. That's funny.
Well, Greg, thank you too, buddy.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having us on. It's always so much fun.
Well, you're always welcome. And I know you guys have been so busy and everything that's really exploded with all the stuff that's going on. But this spring, starting out next month, and with Dave Monday, I guess here next couple of weeks, Dave Matthews for the next two, three
Dave
months.
Mason.
He
Dave Mason.
Said
Matthews.
It again.
Well, I said it as a joke. Okay. Listen, I know Dave Mason. I knew Dave Mason before Joe was alive.
There you go.
You've known him that long?
Yeah.
64 years?
Wow.
That's
a long time.
He was just a kid on the streets in England. So this digresses.
Yeah, we could keep this going.
Well, we're trying to.
Way past airtime.
Hey, once we hear the music, we always do backflips because we know we're out of here.
Adam and I are going to start talking golf again in a minute if y'all don't make it pull together.
You scratch golfer, basically, a little bit above it. But from those tees, and then your daughter who can – you know, par fours hit irons off those tees. Mm-hmm. Adam back here now. He can hit it, but it may end up in Hendersonville or Joelton by the time it lands.
I have been in golf scrambles against Angel, and every time I see her name, I lose because you win there because you hit it from the ladies' tees, but you should hit it from the men's tees because you hit it much farther than the men hit it from the men's tees. So we always lose.
You have no idea how much money I spend trying to be a girl. Just let me be a girl.
I bet Steve knows how much money you spend trying to be a girl.
Yeah, trust me.
You have to call Michael Bolton again.
Yeah, there you go.
Y'all got another tune coming out?
I'm like, okay, we've got a plethora of tunes that you can choose from.
Hey, we got a new Steve he's working on.
Steve, what was it you told us when Michael Bolton called you the first time and said he wanted to do Dock on the Bay, and you were like, sure, right?
Well, yeah, sort of like that. Columbia Records actually called me and said, we want to put this record out, but we want you to approve it first.
Wow.
Guess what?
Well, did you approve this show?
Yes, he did.
All right. Yes. Hey, everybody, Steve Cropper, Angel Cropper, Picking with the Pickers, presented by Pickers Vodka and Landmark Bank. Hey, go to WNSR.com. Just click on the calendar link. You can find out all the stuff.
I bet I have done something that you need to do sometime.
Faith?
I went to the Pickers Distillery, and they let me put my finger in the spout where it all comes out and lick my finger. Fantastic. So I don't know who got that next batch.
I've lit my – hey, anytime whiskey touches that forefinger, it's fine.